Blog Talk Radio.
Because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety. And did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence. Because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified. That your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life. Eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our trouble lies, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're coming with our scripture reading. Just one verse right quick. And then we'll go for encouraging words this morning. And we just thank God. We thank God that it's him that encourages us and lifts us up and keep us closed in our right mind. And no matter what come our way, we stay with him and remember what he has said concerning us, every promise. Yeah. And so we thank him this morning. So we're just going to read a little bit of this and then we're going to move on. We're looking at, again this morning, Luke, the 7th chapter, and we're going to start at verse 12. Yesterday we found out about speak the word. Yeah, the servant, I mean the military man, he had to be a general, sergeant or something, said that his house wasn't good enough for Jesus to come, but if he would just speak the word. Hallelujah. And Jesus said he had not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Yeah. And they found out that they went back and the servant was whole. He was no longer sick because Jesus spoke the word over him. Hallelujah. And the sergeant or general, whoever he was, he believed. And that's what we got to keep doing. Believe in God. Believe his word. Test him. Try him. Yeah. And you'll find out he's more than all right. We're looking at chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 12. And we'll just read that one verse, and then we'll continue on down to 17 later on. But it says, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Yeah, Jesus saw this right here when he came to the gate of the city. And the message this morning that we're talking about, we are thinking on, is have you heard the rumors of Jesus and his compassion? Have you heard about that? Because some people say that they haven't heard. Yeah, but we're the ones to make sure that people hear the rumors of Jesus. And I thought this morning I would share these rumors with you. They're calling them rumors, but I believe it's the truth. Yeah, it's not just a rumor. But in this still that they're calling a rumor, how many know there is some truth to a rumor? Yeah, many times you have to get in and cipher the truth. Find it for yourself. Hallelujah. So we thank God for his word this morning, because that's what it's going to take for us to live. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. Yeah, I believe in that King James Version, because other versions I've read, it don't resonate with me. I don't feel the anointing of God in that. Yeah, but that King James Version. Yeah, I can read that all day and all night, and I can feel the presence of the Lord concerning his word. And so I'm thankful this morning. Listen, the scripture says the world has become wickeder and wiser. Yeah, wickeder and wiser. And it has. When I look out, I come from the 50s. The late 50s, 1957, coming on into 58, 59, 60. And back during these times, things wasn't like it is now. There was no cell phone. Let's use that one. There was no microwave. That come later. Yeah. The microwave come later on. There was no DVDs. Now, they come out with the 8-track later on in the 60s. Could have been the 70s. Then they come out with the cassette player. But the world has become wickeder and wiser because of man. And what man think he's doing, he think that he's making a better world. But what he's doing is messing up. And we follow this stuff. We follow this stuff because it make our lives, many times, our lives easier. And some things, I will agree, are good. Yeah, some things God has allowed man to put together is good. And it's okay. I thank God this morning that I'm looking for, okay, because he had done wisely for the children of this world and in their generation, wiser than the children of light. Okay, now that's the wrong one. I must have spelled it wrong. So I'm going back to take another look. And I didn't know I was going to need this particular scripture this morning, but I want to share this because I want to talk about this and include it in have you heard the rumors of Jesus and his compassion. Yeah. So listen, let's go to one quick song, and we're not going to play it all the way through, just maybe three or four minutes of it, hopefully. Hallelujah. Order my steps in your word, Lord, daily. Lead and guide me all the steps of the way. Yeah, God. And so we thank him this morning for good gospel music. So look, I want to look at this scripture. And this is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what happened is this, it has become wickeder and wiser. Yeah, that was not always a car. That was a horse. That was a donkey. They found other means of transportation. Today, there are all type of cars all types of truck, SUV, sports cars, luxury, all kind of stuff that God blessed man to make. Back in the day, the houses didn't come with cabinets unless they built the cabinets into the house. And it didn't always come with a stove. They had fireplaces. And when stoves come about, they made wooden stoves that burned wood. Wiser. Yet wickeder before the wise, because guess what? There are many people that have killed people, gotten away with it because of the way it was done and the way that they could hide the evidence. Wickeder. Back in the day, many times, and even in the Western days, they just shoot a man and that's it. It wasn't self-defense, okay, you go free. If it wasn't self-defense, then you face the judge and you got hung for that. They hung you for it. They hang you up. So it's a whole totally different thing today. Cameras everywhere. You go through the airport with a wand to see if you have a weapon or anything dangerous on you. We fly in airplanes and make our destinations. We fly in jets and make our destinations. People are trained how to do these things. We have medical doctors that can give heart transplants, liver transplants, kidney, wiser. God has blessed man, but man won't hear. Man won't just sell out to God. Yeah. Because he needs something tangible. He needs signs and wonders. He needs to understand it to the last letter. But the scriptures say his ways are not our ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. But we want the whole thing and not just step by faith, believing what he said concerning us. He said, we're the head and not the tail. Do we really believe that? No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. He just said it wouldn't come against you, but whatever it come for, it won't be done. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Do we really believe that? I wanted to come back to the book of Luke in the 7th chapter because it's showing so many great things that Jesus is doing concerning people. I think what James Brown said, we need to get on the good foot. We need to get back in here and believe this is what Jesus is capable of doing. He's done it before. He can do it again. You need healing. I mean, a healing like no other you think. A healing that you don't believe the doctors can take care of. You may have scars and you don't believe that the doctors can fix all of this without surgery and this, that, and the other. But do you believe Jesus can? There was a man at the pool, and if I'm not mistaken, they called it the Pool of Siloam. The angels would come and trouble the water, and when the angels came and troubled the water, the people would get in and be healed. Well, this man, he had been laying there for many, many years, if I'm not mistaken, 30-something. And when the angels came to trouble the water, he didn't have anybody to help him into the pool so that he could be healed. He was lame, couldn't walk. Jesus appeared to him and said, would thou be made whole? See, he was thinking like many of us think. No doctor can fix me. I done been all that I can, where I could be for medical. Nothing can help me. I've just accepted this. But the angels come and trouble the water, but I can't get in there because I don't have anybody to help me. He didn't ask you about getting troubled water. He asked you, would you be made whole? And today he's asking many of us that. Will you be made whole? Will you let me be the Lord of your life? Will you believe me enough in your heart that I will perform surgery on you right here, right now. Never use a knife. All I got to do is speak the word. All I got to do is touch you. All you got to do is touch me. Hallelujah. If you touch me, I yet heal you. And this is the way we need to go. These are the things we need to do. I was telling myself, oh, you heal. Yeah, you are healed. But you know, sometimes you don't want to face just a little pain. You don't want no pain, so you don't do nothing. But I know I'm healed by the way things are going. But once he healed, we need to stop going back to undo the healing by eating wrong, by hanging in the wrong places, by not exercising. Because the body, if it's nothing more than some walking, the body needs a little exercise. Yeah. But he's doing all of this, and many times you don't need nothing but just that healing that he is giving by your faith. By your faith, you believing that Jesus is going to heal you. You believing whatever you need, he's going to supply. Yeah, he's been doing it for me for years. Even when I didn't realize God was supplying my need, he was yet doing it. Because when I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. God loved me so. Yeah. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. We talked about Shante and I by guns. I saw a video yesterday of this man, and he had a bunch of guns, and he kept one in the bedroom, a nightstand drawer, so that if that was an intruder, he could protect his family. Well, it just so happened that one of his sons got a hold of the gun, playing with it. Gun went off and killed him. They said a lady at the daycare had a gun in the glove box. She remembered, so she took it out and put it in the baby's lunch bucket. We call it lunch box. And she forgot, evidently. And the daycare found the gun. They called the police. The daycare lady didn't press charges, but the state did. They picked it up, arrested her. Now she got to go and face those charges. Wickeder and wiser, cover your house with the blood of Jesus. Yeah. I don't want to prepare to wound nobody, injure nobody, kill nobody. But we pray and we ask God to send our angels. We release our angels to stand watch, to shield and protect. To keep us from all hurt, harm, or danger. Because these times are getting worse. They are. They are. People have no thought or heart for life. They don't care about that. And especially the youth. And I'm going to tell you something. Many parents want to give their children what they didn't have. Give the children their heart's desire. Do you know it's folly in the heart of foolishness is in the heart of a child? As many parents who brought their children up in what they call the modern way. Their children had the Xbox, the latest games, the latest sneakers. When they got 16, they made sure their child got a license so they could buy them a car, a brand new car. Their children don't sit to the table and eat dinner. They sit and eat snacks. Whatever the child wants, they think this makes the child happy. So they give that child whatever they think that their child wants. Disaster, just messing them up. We had to go through a little something. Many times we didn't have to, but my dad allowed it to teach us some things. When I wanted a job on the farmer's market, yes, you can have a job. You can work. And we need to teach you some things about having money. Money is just not for sporting. Money is not just to buy what you want. And if you save it, you can use it to make more money. Yeah. Even back then, I would charge a nickel to get a surfboard. I called it a surfboard, but it was just a flat, flat piece of plywood. And kids would come and rent that from it because when it rained, the rain settled, the water settled. And it took a while for the water to go away, so the kids took the board and they were playing in the water. But you see, today and back then, totally different thing. Because the world is becoming wickeder and wiser. Right to this day, right now, companies will cheat you. COVID is over. As far as they're calling it a pandemic and everybody need to wear a mask, everybody need to stay home, everybody need to stay 6 feet from each other. They're not saying that anymore. It appears that things have gone back to normal, although there is still some stuff out here. But restaurants will cheat you. They have DoorDash and Uber and this, that, and the other that if you can't get out to get food, they'll bring you food. And there's supposed to be a small fee for that. But restaurants, not for the driver to get tipped or the person cooking the food to get tipped. But the restaurant itself is charging a service charge, talking about COVID. They went up on the prices of the food and then charging a service fee plus tax, plus a tip, plus pay the driver. Come on. And many times people are doing it because they can't get out. Sometimes it's just that they have what I like at this restaurant and I just don't want to go over there. So I've ordered online or through my phone or through the app or whatever. Price gouging is what they called it. But have you heard the rumors of Jesus and his compassion? He can fix all of this. He can make it so you don't have to use these type services if you choose not to. You can cook at home. You don't have food, he'll make a way for you. I looked at another video yesterday and the man said that he was broke and he had a few children and a wife. And he said during that time, he was doing drugs. He said the wife come to him and said, can you just go to the store and just get one can of beans? And I'll take the beans and make something. He goes to the store and he'll penny short from having enough to buy the beans. He said he left the store with this mentality. I'm going to get me a job tomorrow. He said in the next morning, he got up and he went out. He saw a sign that said salesperson. He went over there and talked to the man. The man said he didn't have a car. He didn't have a car either. The man said, well, do you have a car? You have transportation? He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, well, all right, I'll see you in the morning, 8 o'clock. He said there was a friend of his, and his friend was obese. He was real, real big. And he didn't have, I mean, the friend had two cars. And every now and then, the friend would let him use one of the cars, and one of them was a much smaller car. And he said he went over and he asked his friend, hey, can I borrow your car And so the friend told him, yeah. He said he reached in to get the keys and said he took the key off the key ring and handed it to him and said, you know what? I'll sell you this car for $250. And because I can't get in and out that car. It's too much of a struggle. So, of course, he made payments to his friend. And he said he left there. He went on home after that because he had his car now, you know, he could drive. And when he got there, he said food stamps was in the mailbox. He said, and he did something else. Oh, he said you could take the food stamps to the candy lady in the community and trade some of them, you know, 50 cents for the dollar. You give me I give you a dollar food stamp, you give me 50 cents. He said, so he did that and he was thinking. Just yesterday, I didn't have nothing. I was a penny short from buying a can of beans. I didn't have a job, I didn't have a car, I didn't have no money. He said, but today I have all of that. There is a God. God did this for me. You see? Jesus will make ways where there is no way that you see. He can make ways because he is the way. The earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. But people are so quick to doubt God. Because we can't do it, we don't think God can. Because he didn't give me the gift, I don't think your gift works either. This is the way we think. But now unto him who's able. What he's able to do anything that you can imagine and more. He's even able to cause us to be blameless when we stand before him, as if you've never committed a crime. You've never committed a sin. Have you heard this morning the rumors of Jesus and his compassion? I love it that he have compassion for us. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're grateful unto you. For your compassion daily, nightly, all the time. You have compassion for us, your people. Man is a pitiful creature. And the Lord know we are pitiful. So look, we're going back to take a look at Luke, the 7th chapter and the 12th verse. And we're looking at verse 12. And we're going to read on down. Look what happened. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And it's always like that. When something happens, people come. And not everybody come to be supportive. Some people come to see what's going on. In the South, we call it being nosy, putting your nose in other people's business. Many times you'll see it on Facebook. You have all these friends. Only two or three say something to you. The rest of them never say nothing. Some people come every day to your Facebook page to see what's on it, to see what's going on with you. No support. No hello, how you doing? I just want to see, is there any negativity going on with you? And it makes no sense to me. Because whatever's going on with me, how in the world do it benefit you? But just to know. I guess it helped them just to know. This is why they came out with the newspaper. And the news, people want to know what's going on. But what they should be learning that's going on is the word of God. We should be in that book learning what went on, what's going on, and what will come on. out of the book. But that's not the way people are. They run to see what you're going to do. What are you doing? What's happening? Yeah. Oh, don't let them hear no bad news about you. Look like it just makes their day. Now, you have a few genuinely will come and say, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm praying for you. This, that, and the other. But you got 400 friends and three out of 400 are the only three that come and be concerned? Come on now. So these people, much people of the city was with the woman who lost her son, the widow who lost her son. Verse 13 says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. He's had compassion on me. And the same thing, you don't have to cry. I'm not going to allow tears to come. Because he got this under control. When my son got shot and the bullet went through his heart, well, went through his breast on the side of his heart, I didn't have to weep. God was there. I prayed the prayer of faith. He took care of it. 14 says, and he came and touched the bride. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. The young man was dead. Jesus told his mama not to weep. That's compassion. It said he had compassion on her. It said, weep not. And he came and he touched the casket. And they that was carrying him to wherever to bury him, I assume. They stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that is a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. Now, he did this in front of everybody because people were following. 16 says, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. You know, when God do something great that man can see with the natural eye, oh, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. We believe. As soon as we have trials come, we quiet. We don't talk of his wondrous works. We don't talk about the full goodness of it unless we're seeing something that he's doing. But he's there all the time. He never left us nor forsaked us. He's right there with us. But we don't reach out. We don't ask so it can be given. We don't seek so we can find. We don't knock on the door so the door can be open unto us. We managing it on our own. But if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll direct our path. If we'll give him glory, if we'll honor him, if we'll worship him in spirit and in truth, we will get to see all the ways that God can move. All the ways that we need him to move. But we go about our day and take things for granted. He keeping that water back from the earth. He keeps all that water back from the earth, the ocean in Florida back from the earth. He keeps the sun from burning us up and the earth. He keeps the moon at bay so that the moon don't freeze us off the earth. The seasons keep changing because he's doing it. Every now and then, you see a rainbow to remind us of his promise. It's not God, it's us. We don't believe, we don't remember the things that he's done. When I look all the way back, even in my childhood, I can see the blessings of God. Many things I just did not know. I heard another lady testimony yesterday, and it made me do self-inventory. And I said I was a selfish child. I was very selfish to my parents. I never thought about what they might would be going through. I only thought about what I was going through, what I wanted, what I needed them to do for me. And they were great parents, so they did it. And they never accused me of being selfish, although I'm sure they could see that. Yeah, children don't think like that. They don't, you know, they just get what they're going to get. I need a dime. I need to go to the store. I want to go to the store. And what you're going at, cookies. And if they say, okay, you can have 10 cookies, I'm going to give you a nickel because it was 2 for a penny cookies. I did not care where the nickel come from. I didn't consider where it came from. Just give me the nickel. And many of us are like that with God today. I don't consider what he did out at Calvary. I don't consider what he did before he got to Calvary. I don't consider what he did when he stood before Pilate and Pilate messed up everything. The wife told him, don't have nothing to do with all of that. Bring me some water. Let me wash my hands. Now, you need to wash your heart, Pilate, not your hands, honey. You can have dirty hands, but you need a clean heart. Because just like he did, you can get some soap and water and wash them hands, but you can't get soap and water and clean your heart. 15 says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Brought the dead man back to life. When they saw this miracle, then they said that God has visited his people. He was there all the time. He was right there all the time. 17 says, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John saw him of all these things. Yeah. John was his cousin. He was the cousin of Jesus. And he was the only one that I saw other than Jesus. He was born with the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist. And John baptized the Savior of the world. He baptized Jesus. At first, John was telling him, no, I need you to baptize me. And Jesus let him know, according to the will of the Father, I'm to baptize you. John said, well, come on, let's get this done. Hey, if God sent you to baptize me and it pleases the Father, oh, yeah, let's get this done. If we go through the book, if we say in the book, we'll remember these miracles that the same Jesus today can work in our lives. Many times we don't see the blessings of the Lord because we don't have our spiritual glasses on. We're not looking out of spiritual eyes. We're looking at the natural. Many times there's so many things we want. Oh, I just want it. Give it to me, please, Lord. And God is sitting back waiting. He's not saying anything. He's not going to move either. Because if he gives this to you now, it'll add sorrow to you. It'll make you cry later on. If he give this to you now, it may cause you to die. And that's not his plan for your life. Can we come out the world and be in the world, but not of the world? Can we do that? Can we hear the rumors and the compassion of Jesus? He have compassion on us daily. We don't deserve this good life. We don't deserve this spiritual life. We don't deserve no pain. We deserve suffering. We deserve dying. But guess what? He took all that on so we wouldn't have to. He took the pain, the physical pain away from us, basically. And he bring trials, but the only reason trials come is to make us stand stronger so that we don't fall weak to whatever the world or the enemy is presenting to us. Because what the world have is stuff and things, a lot of words. You look behind worldly people, they dragging a lot of words, alphabets. No substance for eternity. That's just like when we're younger. I know I did it. I didn't prepare in a way that I should have for my older years. So the world don't prepare for what's going to take place later on. What the world prepared for is the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Everybody want to own a home. You never own it. You just renting a place that you can do anything you want to it, but you'll never own that. Each year you're going to pay taxes. Each year you're going to pay this. Now, you never just flat out, right, this is my house and I don't have no payments yet. Because if you don't have mortgage, you're going to have yard payments. If you don't have to fix your yard, you're going to have to fix your roof. If you don't have to fix your roof, you're going to have to remodel your bathroom. Something always going on. But this is the way that the world presented. And this is what we chase after. And we chase after the sports car, the luxury car. Some can't afford it, so they settle for what they can afford. But if they had their way, they'd get their dream cars, their dream houses. This is the way of the world, the American dream. That's the way of the world. You come up under your parents, you go to school, you finish school, you go to, from 5 to 17. You finish preschool, elementary, junior high school, and then you go to college. According to what you want to do or become or what you like, you get your degree in that. And then when you graduate, you get a job. You do what your parents did. You get married, you have children, and it starts all over again. But this is the thing. All of that is well and good, and God don't have a problem with us owning things like a car and a house. He don't have a problem with us having these things, I should say, because you don't own them, but having them. Because even the car, you got to pay for a license. You got to pay for a tag. Each year, you got to pay for a sticker to go back on the tag, just so much. Repairs on the car, gas in the car. But anyway, we put all our hope and all we got into these things. And many times, church folks, not God people, because we know better. We've been in the book and we've been in prayer and God done showed us. He sent the preacher to teach us. Listen, many times many times the church folks, they go to church, they go to Bible study, but they ain't got it yet. Many of them, just like the disciples, when they started walking with Jesus, they didn't understand. They're going to come out and ask him, who's going to be the first and the highest in the kingdom? The mama going to come out and say, I want you to make sure my boy. What? So church people are different than the people of God. I'm just telling you the truth. Because they go to church. And they don't learn how to have church protocol and how to have church etiquettes and, you know, what you do in church and all of this. Announcements and entertainment and all of this nowadays. But if we got in this book, got in prayer and in this book, it will make us different, totally different than thinking on an American dream. Than thinking on a house on a hill with a dog named Fluffy. Oh, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Than thinking of your luxury car. Yeah. Some want a sports car. Crazy. You're going to get old. And then I've seen elderly men driving sports cars. It was their dream car when they was younger and they never got it. And when they got old, they could afford it. So they went and bought a sports car. Are you crazy? Yes. Because this is where your heart is. Those are treasures for you, and that's where your heart's at. But our treasure should be stored up in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves can't break in and steal. Find that in the Bible. Go ahead. Look for it. That's where our heart should be. Because wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart is going to be. I want my treasures to be stored up in heaven. I want to think on heavenly things. I want to remember this. Don't gossip, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. Be pure, be true, be honest, be just, be lovely, bring good reports. Wait on God. Have faith, keep trust in him. Teach yourself how to let your flesh die. Teach yourself how to kill this flesh so that it don't come against the spirit. Because there's a constant war going on. Your natural self against a spiritual self. The natural self say, do this, do that. The spiritual self say, don't do that. That's not right. Always a battle going on. But if we got in the book again, pay attention to the rumors and the compassion of Jesus Christ, the Son of the true and living God. We would get to see many things happen right before our very eyes in this life. This is the same God that asked the man at the pool, would you be made whole? This is the same God that said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. This is the same one that just told the widow, weep not. The same one that said, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This is the same one that said, take up that bed and walk. He's the same one that sat on the mount and taught many. Some, the weeds came up and choked it out of them. Some of them, the sun came and scorched it. Some held on to it. And it wasn't just 12 disciples he had. He had many disciples, women included. For the men that's been hurt by women that believe a woman should be silent in the church and believe that women shouldn't be in leadership. If we wasn't leading today, many times there would be no church. Or should I say, there wouldn't be no buildings for them to go to. Because we believe what we want to believe and we take it the way we want to take it. We don't go to God and pray and ask him to be glorified in our lives. Yeah. This God did things and the Son of God did things and they glorified God. But they called him a great prophet, not the Son of God, but a great prophet. Said that a great prophet is risen up among us. Are you kidding me? What prophets you know raised the dead? Where they at? They done waxed cold. Yeah. It said that God has visited his people after they see the miracle. That's church folks for you. We believe after the fact. I want to believe before the fact. I want to believe before God moved, because I've seen him move before. And if he did that then, he can do it now. He don't change. He was that way yesterday. He's that way today. He will be that way forevermore. I'm just sick and tired of the foolishness. A man and saying he got God and he's with God. I'm just sick of that. I want the real thing. I need the truth. As Pastor Howell say, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Nothing else I need but the truth. I need to believe God. Why is it so hard to believe? Well, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Those that were before us, the saints of God that was before us, they walked by faith and not by sight. Before Apostle Paul turned to Paul, he was Saul. He didn't believe either. And I want you to look at God with that. Look at God with that. Saul thought he was doing God a just service. He thought he was really helping God. And he was doing what was pleasing unto God. But he was not. He was killing the people of God. He was killing the name of Christ. And one day on his way to Damascus, to persecute more Christians, God knocked him off the horse and asked him, why are you persecuting me? What is this you're doing? So I needed to know, how am I doing this, Lord? God dropped a big bomb on him. Oh, yeah, that serial killer was something serious. And what happened is this. The work that he thought he was doing unto God, great work unto God, because he thought he was doing right and doing what was pleasing unto God, God used him to really do it. God used Paul. He changed his name from Saul to Paul. And when I tell you, in my younger years, when I learned about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Corinthians, Romans, and all these books, and I got to hear who was the author of it, who wrote these epistles, who wrote these letters, Apostle Paul. He taught me much. One of the things I don't believe, it's several now, but one I don't think I ever believed that I will forget it ever. He said this, don't be ashamed of the gospel. I took it personally. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, Barbara. It has power to save. Several things he taught. He taught me, have your own husband. No need to deal with somebody else's husband. He's already taken. You want a husband, pray for your own. So many things he taught me. He showed me that his love for the people of God caused him to write. He couldn't be there, but he could get a letter to them. How many of us write the saints today? How many letters have you gotten in the mail other than asking for money? They told you could enter your prayer request and send it back, but you need to send a donation with that. How many letters have you gotten from your church or your pastor or any other pastor sharing some good news of Jesus in the letter. How many got it? You got to go to church. That's what they want. Back in the day, they used to come by your house, check on you, sit down, maybe have a meal or snack, because sometimes they would bring the meal or bring a snack. Yeah, the senior bishop would come by with Kentucky Fried Chicken. Ow! Oh, my goodness, I love it to this day. Yeah. What you cooking? Bring me a plate. Something happened, he would come by the house to tell me. So I didn't want you to hear from other people. I come to tell you myself. Pray for me. Yeah. Because he would come by unannounced. I didn't know when it would be. But the first time he did it, he come by about 4 o'clock or so in the evening. And my kids was up front in the living room. I was in the bedroom. And it was my prayer time. So I went back there to kneel down in prayer. And I'm back there praying, and I heard him say, you better pray for me and my family. And that's what I was praying. Just as he got to the door, that's the prayer that was coming out of my mouth. The church, the pastor, and his family. What they call members of the church. Yeah. But we need to go back. Take a look around the old path. Not just the Old Testaments, as they call them. But we need to take a great look around the new. We need to check out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes, these tell all about Jesus. These tell about rumors, compassions, and things he did, miracles he worked. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed thousands. And he had compassion when it came to the woman who had committed adultery and got caught in the very act. Brother Louis used to say this. They wanted to stone her because they wanted to shut her mouth because they had been with her. Boy, that Louis used to have me screaming. That Louis used to have me cry. He said, look at it now, look at it. Look at it in the spirit. Boy, that Louis would have me cry. Yeah. Because he said, those men that wanted to stone her, they was, and he said they could have been jealous because they thought they was the only one, but she had plenty. She was fooling around with married men. She was on her way to hell. But look at the compassion of Jesus. They came out there to stone her, and they were going to brick her up. You hear me? They was going to kill her. And she ran to him. And they say, this woman been caught in the act of adultery. That means they busted her while it was going on. He stooped down and was writing something in the dirt. And they wanted to know what he was going to do about it. That's what he did. He only used a few words. He said, the first one, without sin, cast the first stone. Well, nobody was there who was sinless. Her accusers, they were sinners. So they had to just gradually walk on away. I can't hit her with the brick because I'm guilty. Lewis said, yeah, you're guilty because you've been with her or you want to be with her. So you and your brick go on. Oh, he would have you screaming in that chat room almost. Listen. He looked up. They was all gone. He said, woman, where are thy accusers? And she looked around. Where nobody to accuse her. He said, and I don't accuse you either. Go, listen to this, and sin no more. That remind me of repenting. Repent and don't go back to it, he said. Yeah. Some things, it appears to become a thorn in our flesh. sometimes we do what they call drop the ball on certain wrongdoings, because we don't feel we have enough strength to battle this, to stop this. And sometimes they have a hold on us. It have a hold on us, a great hold on us. So we go back to it a few times. And then the next thing you know, we keep striving at it. We keep trying not to do it. We keep praying. We keep resisting it, and it flees. And one of these times it flee and it never come back. Sometimes people drop things cold turkey. It happened right now. Some things God deliver us from right now, and some things he does not. Sometimes this thing linger on a little bit longer, but he sees the very intent of our heart. Lord, I'm not going to stop trying until you deliver me. I believe it was Jacob told the angel, I'm not turning you loose until I get a blessing. Once you bless me, Lord, then I can turn it loose. Mm-hmm. So we go through many things, but we trust in God today. We learn not to lean to our own understanding because it's warped. It's messed up. Back to this, there's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Yeah. So many of us have heard the rumors of Jesus and his compassion, but we quickly forget what the word said about it. Yeah, we quickly forget what his word. When you look back there, look at John the Baptist. They beheaded this man. They said some, they hung him, crucified him upside down. Think on that. They had to hide many times. Jesus had to hide because they sought to kill him and anybody affiliated with him. These people was jealous of the gift. Look at Nicodemus. Came to him by night. I'm not coming in the day. Somebody might see me. And Jesus had much compassion. He didn't hold nothing against them. Even the ones that crucified him, he didn't hold nothing against these people. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's serious right there. Forgive my enemies, God. They don't know what they're doing. We should be the same way, full of compassion. I know sometimes we get angry and we can't think right away, so we have to stop ourselves and come back to it. Stop ourselves and come back to it. Because we get angry and we forget to sin not. We get angry and we forget to have compassion. I said a whole bunch of stuff this morning. Because the rumors of Jesus and compassion is a lot to cover. It even bring me here, taste and see that he is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because so much. Yeah. Because, look, we don't want to be a part of the world. We're in the world, but we don't want to be a part of the world. We're different. We think different. We're peculiar people. We are of a royal priesthood. We don't have to do what they do. We don't have to think the way that they think because we know the outcome of it. Listen, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's victory in Jesus. The battles are won. But we must believe and we must remember. Isaiah 13 and 11 says this, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Isaiah 13 and 11, not Barbara 13 and 11, but Isaiah that God inspired to write this word for us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Yeah. Hebrews 9 and 26 says, but then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Yes, sir. He sacrificed himself to put away sin, our sins. It's so much that we should have compassion for him for. It really is. We should love him and totally agree with him. And come to a place of humbleness. I had to repent yesterday and I'm repenting today. Because sometimes humbleness get away from us. We don't remain humble. We thinking on some things or we trying to sort out some things and somebody say something to us. We're not really quite nice. I mean, we didn't get super ugly, but we're not so nice because we focused over here. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something, that enemy is something serious. You can be doing something and it's getting to where it's blessing you and you're going to get there. That devil will send something your way. Ooh. Low down and dirty. But God. But God, you can make up your mind, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to do it this way. He'll send somebody while you in the midst of the plan to mess with it, to mess with you so that you mess with it and don't quite get it done. You may have to start over, but better late than never. Hallelujah. Better late to get it done than never. I'm thankful. God is, hallelujah, more than I need him to be. Yeah, God is. Without him, again this morning, we can do nothing. But now we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yeah. And I just like to talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. I also like to remind us of things that we shouldn't be doing. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is like this and he taught me much about it. I hear what you say, Barbara, but I'm looking at what you're doing. And what you're saying and what you're doing are two different things. So that means you're a liar because your lips and your heart is not lining up together. If you want me to believe you, tell the truth. If you want me to believe you, let your lips and your heart line up together. And I know it's coming from your heart, therefore it's the truth. Man the same way. Man the same way. Many times people come and tell me one thing, but I know it's another. So I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm looking at what you're doing. And it's so easy for them to praise themselves and Oh, just think they all the way right. A lot of times I'm not vulnerable with man, but I am 100% with God. I tell him all because I know what I've done wrong. I know where I've messed up. I know when I said something I shouldn't have said. I know when I've done something I shouldn't have done. I know when this mind of Christ Jesus is not in me. And what I mean by that is I have to repent like anybody else. I have to go back and do the first work over like anybody else. Almighty God is faithful unto us. And I'm so thankful. Hallelujah, Jesus. There is none like him. We can search all over. We still won't find nobody greater than Almighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So look, I'm going to one more song of the morning. It's raining here today. And after this song, the studio is open. Come in and share about the scripture with us. I know you saw something in there. If it's nothing.
Our arms open wide. Welcome, Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Spirit of the living God, all fall fresh on us today. We don't want our living to be in vain. Hallelujah. And we're grateful unto him. We appreciate him. We love him today. There's none like Almighty God. And again and again and again and again, we can search all over. We won't find anybody, nobody greater than him. So listen, if no one have anything they would like to say this morning, maybe we will go to another scripture. I tell you what, let's take a listen to The Wolf is at the Door. Yeah, I was going to try and have a guest for today to testify, because we usually have Testify Friday. But that was not the way God was moving. So I wanted to share this too, the compassion of Jesus. We heard rumors about him. They're not rumors to me. They're the truth for me. Because I know this is the way that he is. These are the things that he can do. People will be talking to me, and I say to myself, that's God right there. He telling me the truth. That is God. That's just like him right there. He loves us this morning. I promise you, I have no reason to get up so early in the morning and come and lie, when I could be sleeping. Yeah, he loves us. Matter of fact, he so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah. And he did it for the good, he did it for the bad, and he did it for the ugly. He's no respecter of persons. But we must come to him sincerely. We must come to him from our whole heart. He's waiting on us. Come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laden, again this morning. I will give you rest. We've been battling with so much. This is going on. That is going on. The believer have to battle some other things, even in their own homes many times, on the job, wherever you go. Look, check this out right here. I wanted to read this one. John, the 16th chapter and the 33rd verse. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So if he overcame, we will too. But and the just shall walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We live by having faith in God, believing all these things he said. Believing all the things we read that he done. Some of us, we see it. We could see. When he up on the mount with them, and he getting ready to feed the five loaves, I was there. I was looking. Yeah. When he asked the man, will you be made whole by the pool? I was standing on the other wall looking. Yeah. So if you believe, these things will come alive in you. They will come alive in you. You will become a part of it. Have you ever heard of this? Have you ever heard of women becoming pregnant? They thought, told her husband she pregnant, this and that. He excited, and, you know, she eating all these strange things, and all of a sudden, she starts swelling in the belly, you know, expanding because the baby's supposed to be growing. And come to find out, that's her imagination. Anybody ever heard about that before? I want to believe God until I see it with my own eyes. I see the man walk on the water, because I was there in the boat looking. Sometimes I imagine myself eating an apple or eating a banana. I might have some grapes and some pecans or walnuts, and I'm eating. And I'm hearing him teach. I'm looking at the people. I'm looking at what's going on. The songwriter said, real, real, Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. So many people doubt him. I can't live without him. This is why I love him so, he's so real to me. Anybody ever heard that? The scripture said, now faith. The scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Why? I believe. Prosper. Why? I believe. I believe God today. He spoke the word and the servant of the general was healed, of the sergeant, the military authority man. He spoke the word and he was healed. He told the widower, don't cry, weep not. Told the son to arise. He was dead. Well, no joke, he was dead. Walked to the grave and told Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Marrying them all up in the air, Martha. If you would have been here, my brother would have died. Today, we don't have no excuse. We can't say that. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We have not because we ask not. Remember, Philip was out in the desert and saw the Ethiopian eunuch? What you reading? So you understand what you're reading? Of course not. Philip began to break it down to him, began to break the word to him. He began to understand. He said, well, look, yonder some water. What's hindering you from baptizing me? Took him on over there and baptized. But he was out there by himself. There was no crowd. See, we got to have somebody with us. I ain't going to let my husband go. I can't go. My wife got to go with me. Well, I'm going to go with the church. He gave us a great commission. And it wasn't just for leadership of the church. It was for every believer. We have the right to go into the hedges and highways, preach and teach the gospel, and compel a man to come in unto God. But we don't think on these things. We think of us. We think of our family. But it's strangers out there that's lost. And God wished that none should perish. He loved a cheerful giver while we're not out here giving to these people, giving Jesus unto them. Not your ministry, not your church. No, don't give that. Give Jesus. Because many times your so-called church and your so-called ministry is not right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for the truth today. Because I'm sick of the craziness too. Yeah, I thank God for my church family, my church home. I thank him for it. The truth being preached over there. Yeah. Pastor Jack and Bishop Cardo, they believe in that word. Not taking from it or adding to it. It is what it is. Accept it or go on. We can't make it and fold it down to please you. I can't do it. I got to say what he said. I got to read to you what he had them to write. And, you know, people don't like it, so they get on. Oh, nah, I don't. Yeah, because you don't want the truth. You want to hype up something. But when God comes back, we stand before him, and we get to see who go in and who don't. Hell is a real place. Yeah. Next week, one day, we're going to play that rapper's testimony again, ex-rapper. He said he's an ex-rapper. We're going to play that again. There are many testimonies on YouTube of people who had the experience of going to hell, come back to tell it. That's warning. Warning comes before destruction. But we won't take heed. We'd rather go on YouTube and look at some other craziness instead of going on YouTube seeing what's happening in the spirit realm. What these people say happened when they went to hell. I told you about the lady sitting here. They had a roasting post, and it was just for preachers, false preachers. And the demons was taking turns sticking them and torturing them day and night. Wasn't no coming out. Dean said the same thing. He said, wasn't no coming out. You was going to be there throughout eternity. Not Dean, I'm sorry. The next one that we had, I've forgotten his name, but he said, wasn't no coming out of there. You were stuck there throughout eternity. And you were being tortured, and it was hot. There was no ice water, no ice cubes. No, you weren't going to get Zephyr's Hill down there. And if you got it, it was boiling hot. So, yeah, we want to pay close attention. So, look, I'm going to the wolf is at the door because I don't want to end too early, Lord. And you're supposed to have a backup show if a guest don't show up. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is faithful. So listen, let's take a listen to The Wolf is at the Door, because we constantly need to be reminded of this. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My message is entitled The Wolf is at the Door. The Wolf is at the Door. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit that gives us new hearts, Lord, so that we can stretch out beyond our limitations and be ambassadors of you and your word to all who can still hear. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your spirit. I thank you for courage and compassion today, God, to speak things that need to be spoken in this generation. Help us, Lord, as a church, never to back away from truth. Help us to go forward and let it fall where it may. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The wolf is at the door. Isaiah chapter 53. Prophet Isaiah says these words. Who has believed our report? Beginning at verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, it's so important before we even begin to look at this passage of scripture to understand that it was a religious system that crucified Christ. You know, we understand that the Roman authorities were the instruments of his death, but it was the religious order of the day created by God's own people that put the Son of God on a cross. There were leaders in that generation, and they had used their position over the people to garner titles for themselves. They had adorned themselves in righteous robes, as they saw it, and they loved to parade among the people, as Jesus said, and be called master, teacher, teacher, teacher in the marketplace. But Jesus himself came in a form that he did not take on this form of grandeur that men give to themselves. And also, too, they created a system of salvation that was much wider and much more inclusive than the one that God had given to us. As a matter of fact, it was so narrow that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. They were so offended when he challenged their religious system because they had created this wide door into eternal life and eternal bliss with God that doesn't exist. All kinds of people were coming into the temple defiled and going out defiled. They were living in manners and ways that the Bible clearly indicated would leave them excluded from the kingdom of God forever. And so in comes this man. He's not interested in their system. He's not trying to garner one of their titles. He's not doing things their way. The Bible says there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's not dressed in righteous robes. He's not got boxes on his forehead. He's not walking around with tassels on his arms. He's not parading like some rooster before the people, talking about how close to God he actually is. They despised him and rejected him because he challenged their religious system. They had created a system of redemption that did not exist. Do you understand? And that's the propensity of humankind. The original sin in the Garden of Eden is that we can be as God is. Remember, we can become judges of what's good and what's evil. And if you take that to its logical extension, we can start declaring things that God forgives when he doesn't. We can start declaring behaviors righteous when they're not. We can start telling people they're going to heaven when they aren't. That is the grave, grave danger of religion. When humankind in its sin nature is allowed to take it and so twist it and so pervert it that it becomes something that God never intended it to be. Can you imagine sitting in a place as a professed or supposed believer in Christ only to end up at the throne of God one day to find out you've been outside the whole thing all along? What a tragedy that's going to be for so many. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was a heaviness in the heart of the Son of God as he looked on the people as sheep without a shepherd. But we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. And we are, of course, reliving the scripture again in great measure in our day. In many, many places, even where God's people are gathering, the word of God is despised. And we are now gravitating to fancy preachers who have opened the door real wide to people who are not going to heaven, giving them false peace when they're not at peace with God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in us, that means a new value system. It means a new heart. It means a new mind. It means a new way of speaking, thinking, living. It means that what God says is good, and what God says is evil. We don't try to change that. We accept that from the Word of God. Now, this message is given to shepherds to bring us not only to the knowledge of our salvation, but to the freedom which Christ bought for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his beating, as it is, that he took on the cross, we are healed. The old things don't have power over us anymore unless we choose to let them. The old ways of living, speaking, thinking, doing are broken. And we become new creations in Christ. We are able to look back and say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not everything that I hope to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, and thank God I'm going to be one day what Christ is calling me to be. So there's this constant moving forward in the life of a genuine believer, leaving an old way of thinking, an old way of living, an old way of speaking, and moving to truth, even when it's painful. Book of Proverbs says a righteous person swears to their own hurt and doesn't change. In other words, I say I'm going to do this and I do it because God's word says I should, even if it causes me pain. And I don't turn from it. Now, Paul was this kind of a shepherd. He didn't hold back, as I said earlier. This is what he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 to 31. He said, therefore, I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. In other words, and this is the cry of my heart, if anyone here today hearing my voice ends up in hell, let it not be my fault. Let it never be because I didn't declare to you the whole counsel of God, or I didn't warn you of something that had the power to drag you down into eternal darkness. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says, for this I know, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, he said, day and night with tears. Paul said there's going to be wolves that are going to come, and they're all already, there's packs of them now. It's not just a few, there's many now in our generation. And they're going to come to devour the sacrifice of Christ and the promise of new life through him. They're going to promise you liberty, as the scripture says in the New Testament, but they themselves are the slaves to corruption. They're promising something they're not experiencing themselves, and they can't deliver it. Listen to what Jude says, the last book of the New Testament before the book of the Revelation. Verse 3 says, behold, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here's what the wolves do. They teach that you can live a lifestyle against the word of God and still claim heaven as your eternal home. That is the wolf that's now at the door of the Christian church in America. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that means people who engage in sexual intercourse outside of the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman. Fornicators are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Settle it. It's in the word of God. Don't be deceived into thinking you can live an immoral lifestyle and heaven will still be your home. So hard for this generation to hear. When you've got preachers standing in pulpits saying, well, God understands your need and God is a God of love and God won't send anybody to hell. No, that's not true. God is a God of love. We know that. But the Bible tells us that fornicators have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, nor idolaters, people who have other loves in there, something that is in your life that is your whole obsession. Churches or Christ is just a little part of your life, but there's something else in your life that you're pursuing. Nor adulterers, people who engage, who are married, but engage. And, you know, today we take words like adultery and we call it an extramarital affair, as if it's a black tie event. You know, you are invited to an extramarital affair next Friday at 5 o'clock. Bible calls it adultery. Adultery. Settle it. Deal with it. The sex outside of marriage will keep you outside of the kingdom of God, and sex outside of the bonds of the person that you are married to, the man or woman you're married to, will also keep you outside of the kingdom of God unless it's repented of. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. In other words, that's both men and women. Folks, listen. I understand the dilemma, in a sense, that some might face in same-sex attraction. But I'm telling you, you can't give in to that lifestyle on any level, because the Bible clearly says it will leave you outside the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, some people are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. In other words, some people just live their lives without any sexual activity for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he said, whoever can hear this, let them hear it. You know, you go to a funeral, for example, and you can dress it up with flowers all around, and there's a death certificate, and the preacher can get up and say nice words. But the reality is that the corpse is still dead. You can't make it live. It doesn't matter what you do. And it's the same with homosexual marriage, folks. I got to say it straight out today. I'm not going to hold back on it. You can adorn it with flowers. You can get a certificate from City Hall. You can find some backslidden preacher to say nice words about it. But the wages of sin is still death. You can't change that. Now listen, I'll be called a hater for this message today. I understand that. But I'm not a hater. If I hated you, I'd let you go to hell. If I hated you, I'd let you die in your sin. If I walk down the street and your house is on fire and you're up in your bedroom window and I don't warn you, am I really a good neighbor? Do I really love you? Do I really care about your eternal destiny? You can curse me out of your bedroom window all you want, but I will still warn you that your house is on fire for your soul's sake. Nor thieves. Lest we should think that we're just going to focus on one thing. Nor thieves. That means people who steal. It's that simple. People who steal. People who steal a little. They have a contract maybe and steal a little bit more than they should. Income tax time is coming around, folks. Are you going to pay your taxes? Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. People who come to church this morning, but you were out at a club last night. You're drinking and dancing and this foolishness, I'm out there to share the testimony of Christ. Who are you kidding? If you really are there to do that, stand on the sidewalk with pamphlets in your hand and give it to the drunks coming out of the club. You don't need to be in there with them. Nor revilers. You know, especially in this environment we're now living in this country at this time, where reviling has become the speech of the day, where it's fashionable just to curse everybody around you. You know, Paul said revilers don't inherit the kingdom of God. We have a different heart. We have a different spirit. We're a different kind of people. Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I love that. Would be to God that I can honestly say that of everybody here today. Such were some of you. But you are sanctified. That means you are set apart for the kingdom of God. You honestly repented. You walked away. You moved away from what God's word says is wrong. You can't make it right. You can't change it. It doesn't matter if a million people say, oh, isn't this wonderful? If God's word says it's not, it's not. You are sanctified. You walked away. You walked away from these old ways of thinking, these old behaviors and all of these things. And you set yourself apart for the kingdom of God. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, you and I are living in an hour where the wolf is heading to the door of the church, demanding in our generation that we bow down to this new definitions of good and evil. This is where we're living. The days of being able to say without penalty what I'm saying today are over. If they're not over, they're very close to over. It's an amazing time that we're now living in. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. This is the point. There's a lot of hirelings and a lot of pulpits in America today. And they don't necessarily leave the people, but they leave biblical truth. They flee the truth when the wolf is at the door. When the wolf says, if you don't bow down, this is our golden statue. This is what this generation is going to look like. This is what you'll preach. These are the truths that you will espouse. They will bow down when the music plays to save themselves, because it's always been about themselves, not about the people. The hireling will flee. And you are seeing and you will see a huge departure from biblical truth in the Christian church in this last hour we're living in. The Bible declares that there's going to be an apostasy, a great falling away in the last days from biblical truth. And the hirelings will lead the people, not into the narrow way of eternal life, but into that broad way of destruction. And they flee because it's always been about them. It's been about the robes. It's been about the praises of man. It's been about the titles. It's been about the numbers. It's been about the apparent evidences of success. Then when Christ comes and challenges them, they hate him. His own system hated him. His own people hated him. They pushed him away because he declared their definitions of salvation and truth to be bankrupt. He told them they were full of dead men's bones. He said, you go cross land and sea to get one convert, and you make him twice the child of hell that you have become. These are the words of Christ. He warned us in the last days there would be a great falling away. He warned us. He said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You can't escape that. That's a promise in the word of God. We're going to be hated. It's starting now. You're seeing it in society. You're seeing it in the workplace. You can't even have an opinion on things anymore in this generation that we're now living in. Let me say it clearly now. Abortion for the cause of birth control, or so that people, I understand there are extenuating circumstances, so please don't misquote me on this. But for the cause of just birth control, or for the cause of having sexual pleasure and not having to deal with the life that it can create, is sin. Amen. In the sight of a holy God. It's a terrible sin in the sight of a holy God. In America today, the deliberate gender confusing of our children in grade school is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our high schools, forbidding our children to pray and creating this fictitious division between the state and the church, which doesn't exist. If you really study it, you'll understand it never existed. It was created by the godless. Forbidding our children to pray in our schools is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our colleges, allowing godless professors to rise up and mock God and radicalize a whole generation against even their own nation that was founded by God for the purpose of being able to worship according to the word of God and freely by conscience is sin in the sight of a holy God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let this society despise him. Let them consider him ordinary. Let them rebel against his words. But this day, as Joshua once said, if it be hard to follow the Lord, that's your choice. Choose this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By the grace of God, we will not bow before the wolf in this generation. By the grace of God, we will stand for the truth of God. By the grace of God, we will pray again. We will pray again as a church age. By the grace of God, we will stand up unashamed for the truth of Jesus Christ. We stand on the side of victory. We stand on the side. We stand on the side of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. And as David the king once did, we will stand in this generation against the lion and the bear and everything that comes in to devour our children and to devour the people of God. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. It's time for the people of God to fight back. It's time for us to begin to pray. It's time to run for public office. It's time for teachers to speak. It's time. It's time for the people of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory, 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 glory. The true shepherds of God in this generation are going to care more for the people than for their own safety. More than our own reputation. Amen. It's not going to be an easy road. But I don't know about you, but I'm not giving up this generation to darkness. I'm going to stand because the word of God stands forever. The opinions of men are like grains of sand on the seashore. They'll fall into nowhere. But the word of God abides forever. Now here's where I conclude. If you're living in sin, I plead with you, while there's still time, turn. Turn from it. And trust God for the strength. I know there's some sitting here or listening online or they're in the annex and they say, you don't know how deep the bondage is. You don't know how powerful the draw is. No, I don't. But I know the Spirit of God is more powerful than all of that put together. And I know the promise of God is that we will have a new life, an eternal life. The days of living in Christian ease is over in America, folks. It's over. We're about to join our brothers and sisters in China and other places who are being persecuted for what they believe. In Iran, who are being jailed and put to death for believing in Christ. We've lived a very comfortable, very lazy Christianity in America, but those days are over. The wolf is now at the door. Pray for those of us who lead in any capacity that God would give us courage. As I pray for you, that God would give you a cleanness of life and practice and heart, and give you the courage to speak up in whatever environment you find yourself in. Our children are starving for truth in this generation, and they're wide open. There's only a few Goliaths that claim that they have the power to keep us from being the people of God, but they don't. So I challenge you with all my heart, turn from sin, find that new life in Christ, and rise up and be the person that God's called you to be. We're going to sing for just a few moments, going to worship. I guess my altar call is just twofold today. It's for people to say, oh God, help me please to turn from this thing in my life. I don't have to tell you what it is, you already know. Help me to turn away from watching pornography. Help me to turn away from drink. Help me, God, to turn away from that flirtation in the office. Help me, God, to stop railing. Get me out of the seat of the scornful, and help me to walk with the righteous. Deliver me, God, from cowardice, and put a love for people in my heart that casts out all fear. Give me a voice to call this generation back to you again. And God, help me not to cower under the fear of the repercussions that will come all of our way. You know, I was in Washington, and there's an ex-general there who really gives courage to my heart every time I meet him and talk with him. And essentially, what he would say if he was standing here is, you have to fight for a cause higher than your own preservation. If it's just about preserving yourself, you'll flee when the enemy comes. If it's about others, you'll stand. May God give us the courage in this generation to stand for those that don't have a voice for themselves, for our children, for the unborn, for our high school students, for our college students, for every mother, every father, every child in this country that needs to know there's a Savior who died for them. Give us the grace to be kind and compassionate to all, not judging anyone, we leave that to God, but reaching as far as we can reach into this massive fallen humanity with this message of incredible grace that belongs to every person who turns to it through Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you will today cause your kingdom to advance. You will give us the strength and courage that we now need as a people to stand against the onslaught of wickedness that wants to extinguish the testimony of your life and word. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for courage for your people as others throughout the world have had to have. God, deliver us, Lord, from this life of ease that so many of your people have known and bring us into the true fight for the souls of men. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. God, we yield our bodies today to this purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name. So we're going to stand in a moment for those who just know you have to turn from something. And for those who want to turn towards Christ, maybe you don't have a struggle that I'm talking about. Thank you.
nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up. But right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Amen. Amen and hallelujah. Listen, I thank God for his word and that the preacher's allowing us to know the wolf is at the door. He said we've been free. We hadn't gone through really much. But now that the wolf is already in the house, you could say, we're going to be like other countries where they can't mention God. They can't mention the name of Jesus. They want us to take their way, which many times they're serving a dead God. And I just can't be with a dead God, because what would a dead God do for me? I need a living, a risen Savior. I need the God that have all power, the God that's on my side in spite of me. He so loved me. He sent his only begotten Son. All I have to do today is believe. I don't have to go through rituals and candle sacrifices and burning candles and shaking dust. And I don't have to go through that. Yeah. Chatting a bunch of stuff. That's not what I have to do. All I got to do is believe. And the reason why I say something is I praise him. Hallelujah. I worship him because he is so deserving this morning. Hallelujah. And so we thank God. And I want to say good morning to Sister Sherry. And she wrote me and told me I've been listening. I told her I would make it known that she's listening these days. And we keep her lifted in prayer because we yet believe God is going to heal those eyes. Uh-huh. And we yet believe that she is going to be all right in Jesus' name. Things are going to get better. Once he heals those eyes, she's able to get out more. And then somewhat to a certain degree, she'll be able to do some things maybe on her own. So we just keep her lifted in prayer. And it's all right in Jesus' name. We keep that family lifted in prayer. Mr. Mason and his dad and his mom, Kimmy, we keep them lifted. Yeah, I remember many Wednesday mornings, but Lewis said, I got to go. My boy here to pick me up. So I said, oh, okay, did he would say something? Got to go. I said, okay, my boy is here. I got to go. Yeah. So I remember those days, and then he would email me and say, I won't be there tomorrow. I got to take Sherry to the doctor in the morning. I said, okay. Yeah. And he did not play about taking that Sherry where she needed to go. Yeah, I'll see you later. I said, all right, he would leave. Now, if he took her to the doctor wherever and they got through in enough time and he got back home, he would come back into the chat room. But if he didn't get back, he just didn't get back. See you tomorrow. Yeah, I got to take care of Sherry. Oh, yeah, that brother Louis. And he would have me laughing me today. I could mention a donut, a cake, a pot, fried chicken, macaroni and cheese. He loved all of that. And as soon as I mentioned food, he'd be like, ooh, wee, yummy. I said, yeah, look at that Louis. Yeah, those were the days God blessed us with him and blessed us that, well, blessed me that he manned that chat room 100%. That was his. He owned that. And I came and never stopped coming. Yeah, I miss Louis. Ooh, I miss that Louis. Yeah, someday, with looking in the chat room, no Louis. Yeah, but God is yet faithful. And I know he wouldn't, want us to just stop and not do nothing but continue in Jesus. Yeah, because he loved the Lord, and that was his plight, was to go back with God. Yeah, when he leave here, he would go on to see the Lord. And so we thank God for him believing, yeah, and grateful unto Almighty God for him and all God allowed him to do for us. Yeah, because that was really and truly like my brother. Yeah, close, like my brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're grateful unto him this morning. And good morning again to you, Sister Sherry. And good morning to you, Pastor David. Good morning to you, Sister Jerry. Good morning. God bless you this morning. Good morning to you, Brother Anthony. Good morning to you, Sister Rita. Good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown. Good morning to you, Sister Irene. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. Good morning to you, Sion. God bless you this morning. God bless you. I got your little message. Good morning, Jesus lady. That tickled. You know it tickled me. Oh, yesterday I have a brother in Alabama, Birmingham brother, Fred Sanders. We were at the same church with the senior bishop, Charles C. Woods. And one thing about that Fred going to tell the truth and have me laughing. And he was sending me stuff yesterday, and I said, now, you know I'm over here screaming and crying over this you sending me. He sent me the lady, she in church, and she got a pot and a spoon, I think it is. And she beating the pot with the inside of the pot with the spoon, but it's making music now. So when he sent that to me, I wrote it back. I said, what in the pot and spoon? All that just tickled me to even say that. And so, I get different things to laugh about. You know, not picking at people or the way that they hold a, service or nothing like that. But it was just strange to see her in church with a pot and a spoon beating. Now, I remember the rubboards. Anybody remember the washboards, the scrubber, rubber? You know what a washboard is? They used to use it to wash clothes on. So people took it to church with a wire hanger, a clothes hanger, a wire one, and they rub it with the drums and the stomping on the floor, and that was church right there. Sound good, too. Sound real good. And, people have different things to use. I knew a lady had a stick, and she could take that stick and wrap it with the pap, pap, tap, tap, tap. Yeah, right with the music. Yeah. So it's not laughing at nobody, to be malicious or make them feel bad or nothing like that. But we understand. So yesterday I got a lot of funny stuff that come in and it made me laugh and all of that. And I'm grateful while I do whatever it is I do. And I get to pray off and on now, throughout the day. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful. And are grateful unto him. So we give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. And if there's anyone have something they would like to say this morning, please feel free to press that number one and come in. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. All right. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. We thank you for your word this morning. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. Help us to remember the compassion of Jesus. Father, help us to remember all they said about him, the things that he did to bless the people, healing the sick and raising the dead, the lame walk, the mute talk. God, help today. And let us possess the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, when we call the illness forth, let it come out right there, no tarrying. Lord, when we call demons out, let them come out right now. No tarrying in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for the demonstration of your power. We give you glory. We give you honor. And Father, we give you praise. Lord, we ask today that over every situation of your people, speak the word that heals it. Speak the word that dissolves it, that it never come back again. In the name of Jesus. Bless every call and every listener today. Those coming through the archives and the podcast, Lord, bless them as well today. Move in a mighty way for your people. The week has ended, and we thank you for another week ending. And Lord, we ask as we go into the weekend that you would move by your spirit for us, that God, we would be great witnesses this weekend to strangers, Lord, and to family members, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you this morning. Bless every household represented here. Every family member blessed today, oh God, near and far, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, bless widowers and bereaved families, those that are incarcerated. Father, touch and heal those that are sick this morning. And Lord, we bring Sherry before you this day and ask, Lord, that you would heal her eyes in the name of Jesus. Connect things back together. Lord, let her come out as a miracle in the name of Jesus. We know that you're able. Speak the word over Sherry's eye this morning, oh God, in Jesus' name. Speak the word over Sister Jerry this morning. That she'll come out healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, you've done it too many times. And Lord, we speak these things and ask you to speak them over your people in the name of Jesus. Speak over Sister Dorothy Goodman, oh God. And let it be so today in the name of Jesus. Thank you right now. Thank you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we ask that you bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem, bless intercessory prayer people everywhere, those that are in every branch of the military. And Lord, the administration of our military, bless today in the precious name of Jesus. Bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem today. Bless preachers everywhere, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless our brothers and sisters everywhere, overseas, oh God. Lord, move for them and those that have to hide, oh God, and can't be out front about you or your word or your son, Jesus. Lord, we ask for special strengthening for them. And God, we ask that you would loose your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield, and protect them and their families in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, they need you this morning. They can't do it without you because of their love for you, oh God. They are willing to suffer. Do it for your glory, that you would bless them, strengthen them, and bring them out safe from all hurt, harm, or danger in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless America and the leadership. Have mercy upon us all, oh God, this morning. Father, forgive us for our sins and wrongdoings in the name of Jesus. And Lord, bring America back unto you. In Jesus' name, for if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, Father, you'll hear from heaven, forgive the sins, and heal the land. But, Lord, you got to humble Americans, because as long as they're going strong, they're not going to humble. So, Lord, you know what's best today, and you know what to do to get humility out of your people. In the name of Jesus, bless our going out this morning. And Father, bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your son Christ Jesus. We thank you this morning. Oh, we give you glory, Father. We give you honor and praise. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day, a blessed weekend. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend in Jesus' name. Starting March 22nd, 2024. Again, in Jesus' name. Have a blessed weekend. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, I won't be coming back. Request.
When all foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you're still reigning, you're still God. And when it feels all hope is fading, though my soul may feel forsaken, you still reign and you're still God. Though I can't see what's before me, I know that I can trust your heart, and this one truth will be my story. Declare that you are with me, though voices whisper that you're not. You'll never leave me nor forsake me, 'cause you still reign and you're still God. Fix my eyes upon you, Jesus.